This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Congratulations of getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Carrington here, Rob here. The gang is reunited today. Rob, I would say that I missed you, but in fact, I did not. Chris Unocero and I had a great rapport. You might be on the chopping block, man. Heading into football season, we got to make difficult decisions. We're having those kind of conversations. What guests are going to return? What bits are going to return? What people are going to return? I ain't scared to lose you, Rob. Once we get done with the random Royals lineup, I don't know what you do around here. I don't know what your responsibility is. You got to earn your keep around here on this show.
Am I not running back, Sar, on this show? Isn't that my role? I have it on my business card.
Good point. You make strong points. I don't know who I'm going to talk running backs with if you're not here. Anything else you do? That's your one thing. That's like when people say, hey, Jamal Charles should be in the Hall of Fame because he has the best yards per carry. All right, cool. What else?
I also do an elite job of reminding you who won the national title last year in men's college basketball.
Why'd you have to do that?
I'm the best college basketball coach, Bill Self, equivalent of reminding you of that.
Why did you have to do that? Was that necessary?
I enjoyed it. Feels good to be back. Woo!
You missed on Friday. All the KU fans were very upset at me.
What did you do?
We were talking about the Royals and how the World Series is starting to feel like the Orange Bowl and how we're just starting to tell the same stories over and over again. And at some point, you have to create new memories, and KU fans are not very happy with that opinion.
Actually, it seems like a fair opinion.
Exactly. That's what I thought. I mean, I understand that winning the World Series is bigger than winning the Orange Bowl, but the Orange Bowl happened in 2007. KU fans are still telling those stories. Like, you've won 17 games since then. You got to do something else. Go to a bowl game. That's how that Texas win's going to be. You're going to be telling that story for the next 10 years. Certainly Jared Casey will. Shout out to Jared Casey, man. I hope he had a great day of practice today. How many wins KU going to have this year? Three?
I got him at four.
You got four.
Phil Steele said four earlier on the show. Catch on the podcast page.
They got four wins.
If Phil says it, I'm going to follow.
Okay,
it.
I'm asking you. I'm asking you, yeah, Rob Brinton.
I'm a four guy.
I'm asking you, Rob Brinton.
Big four guy.
Let's go through this. What's their four, you think?
The bye game, Tennessee Tech.
The bye game. Okay, I thought you meant like the bye week. That's what I thought you meant. I'm like, hold on. We're not counting that. We're not counting the bye for them.
B-U-Y, the game they purchased. That's
okay,
the
my
bye.
Bad. Let's be fair here. They've lost that game before.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot count Tennessee Tech. Kansas is not at a point that we can count Tennessee Tech as a guaranteed dub.
I believe Tennessee Tech was 2-10 or 3-9 last season.
So they're Kansas. I mean, this is
at a
common
lower
opponent.
Level.
This is a common opponent.
That's a win.
All right, so we'll give you Tennessee Tech.
Duke.
We're 100% certain they're beating Duke. I'm just saying, Kansas football is at the point we can guarantee they're beating another Power 5 school. They're at that point.
Duke fired their coach last year and had roster turnover because of it. They're in a rebuild. Duke's a win.
Okay. All right, that's two. You have to get two more.
TCU.
Okay.
Same deal. Roster turnover, new coach early in the season.
And then you think they steal.
Texas Tech.
On the road. You got to win a road. You got to win a road conference games. You're really feeling yourself right now.
Another team going through a coaching turnover.
You got to win road games now. That's where you guys are? You guys are just guaranteed road wins every year now?
I have them at one road win.
They got one last year.
I know.
You used up all of them in the Lance Leipold era. You already sold your soul for your one road win. That's how we do, man. We start the 5 o'clock hour on a Monday with Kansas football talk. That's how we start on this show. That's how we kick things off as we're talking KU football. K-State, don't worry. You guys will win 9 games. You guys will be disrespected by the media. You guys will beat Baylor. No one thinks you'll beat it. We've done this. We've done this before.
I got the Cats big in week 2.
Well, why do you keep doing this? What is wrong with you? You're sick.
I'm just a big Deuce Vaughn guy.
You're sick.
He's going to roll over some Power 5 team.
Let's do the hits. I don't know. I'm not talking to you anymore.
The hits. Getting you caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City on your drive home from work. Number one.
Where's Chris Unocero at? Dusty, come in here and run the hits.
Well, as always, the hits are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. By the way, did he do the sponsorship? Because that's another thing I do on this show, the sponsorship reads.
Oh, yeah, you do take care of that because I'm not good at that. I'm not good at that.
You're home for car
that's,
audio.
That's not my strength. We all got strengths in life. That's not one of my strengths. I can admit that.
You're home for car audio repair in Kansas City since 1967. Well, Carrington, the top story of the day in Kansas City from the weekend is actually only quasi about Kansas City, as former Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt, now Cleveland Browns running back, begging to be traded. Ian Rappaport was on the Pat McAfee Show with the latest.
I would be surprised if somebody traded for Kareem Hunt. And it's not just because, you know, he has all the stuff in his background, which is how he ended up getting cut by the Chiefs and going to the Browns, and not everybody would want to take that on. It's also like not a lot of people pay running backs. It's even worse value to trade for a running back and then pay him. So my guess is nothing happens. He made his stance. He tried it. You know, the Browns have not come out publicly and said that they would fine him. But if you're sitting out team drills and then suddenly 2 days later you come back in team drills, I'm going to guess somebody said something to him that said like, hey, dude, you should probably be involved in this. So it looks like it's going to be status quo.
Considering he was a 1,300-yard rusher in Kansas City, Carrington, and the Chiefs running back room is iffy at best, do you believe Brett Veach should make a call and try to acquire the former Chiefs running back?
Rob, cut the beat. This is what we really should have started with, but you derailed us talking about Kansas. We should have got to this earlier. When we come out and see the ratings and we see that no one listened for the first 5 minutes of this, I'm 100% blaming you. I'm going to be expecting, like, I don't know. I was Rob. I don't know. I didn't have anything to do with it. All right. I guess there's like a serious and then another form of seriousness. Let's start with like the highest form of seriousness. Clark Hunt will never let Kareem Hunt back on the team. If you believe the story, and there's no reason not to believe it, Kareem Hunt was called into the principal's office. He was given a chance to come clean. He looked Clark Hunt in his eye and said, you had nothing to worry about. The Chiefs were ready to ride for Kareem Hunt. They were ready to stand by that young brother. And then the video came out. And at that point, it severed the relationship between Kareem Hunt and the Kansas City Chiefs. There's a greater chance that they would bring back Marcus Peters, in my opinion, than they would bring him back. I cannot see a scenario in which Brett Veach goes to the boss man and says, hey, I'd like to make this trade. And Clark's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. I think that time is long past for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the second layer of this is, if you can remove all the off-the-field stuff, which is impossible in Kansas City, you might can remove the off-the-field stuff if you're in another city. It is impossible to do so in Kansas City. Every contending team should at least call about Kareem Hunt and find out how much it is. I think, Rob, you oversell, I think, running back by this. I think there's maybe 10 to 15 that really make a difference, that can catch the ball out of the backfield, that can pass block, that are explosive, that can change the course of the game. And then I think from probably 16 to 45, those guys are largely interchangeable. I would say with what we've seen from Kareem Hunt, he is one of the running backs that can make a difference. That if you're a team like Buffalo, that could be the difference that you win or lose a playoff game because Kareem Hunt is on your roster. If you're a team like New England, that could certainly use some explosiveness and a playmaker, I'd at least call to see how much he's worth. If I'm a team like Philadelphia, I'd be interested in trying to bring in Kareem Hunt. But it's never going to happen in Kansas City. I don't know if unfortunate is the correct term, but the moment that that video came out, the moment that video was seen by the public, Kareem Hunt's earning potential was cut by 50%. So I looked this up because I was curious. So I went to his running back class and I wanted to see who's gotten paid. Because as much as you say, Rob, I wouldn't pay running backs, somebody is paying them. There were 5 running backs who were drafted before Kareem Hunt in 2017. Leonard Fournette was the top 5 pick. And then you had Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, and then Kareem Hunt. McCaffrey paid, Cook paid, Mixon paid, Alvin Kamara paid. Kareem Hunt was going to get paid. If he could have kept himself out of trouble, if he could have kept his hands and his feet to himself, he would have gotten paid. He would have got taken care of financially. But the moment that he made those decisions, the moment that we saw those videos, the moment that he lied to his employer, he went from being a guy who will probably make $25 million in his NFL career, which is certainly a good number, but a guy who could have made $65, $70 million in his NFL career. He could have got the Alvin Kamara deal. He could have got the Dalvin Cook deal. He was one of the best running backs in the league, top 5, top 10 back. At that moment, he lost all the leverage. You already don't have leverage as a running back in the league. You can't be a running back and you're putting your hands on people. Not a good situation to be in, especially you're putting your hands on women. You lost all leverage at that point. So he will never get paid in the league. He's not going to get paid by Cleveland. And then next year, he'll be 28 years old with the past and no team is paying him. He might get a little bit. He'll get 2 years, $20 million. It'll be some funny money. He'll get eight. He will never get what he's supposed to be paid. Let's say that Cleveland gets rid of him right now. What they've paid on taking a chance with Kareem Hunt is a 3-year, $10 million contract. That's nothing for a running back of his caliber. Nothing for a running back of his level of production. Kareem Hunt, to me, is an example of how one decision can completely alter the course of your life. Kareem Hunt was a all-pro running back who was in line to sign a 5-year, $65 million contract. And now he maybe will make $25 million in his NFL career. That's what happens sometimes, man.
Two. Well, speaking of running back, hits number 2 involves the running back room, as all weekend we saw the media, the Chiefs, basically anyone who could speak into a microphone, talk about Isaiah Pacheco and his great camp. Carrington, considering this was your take a while back,
Rob already knows that he and I have this bet. I want you to hear me and hear me good. I'm here to double down. Ronald Jones is going to have the most rushing yards for the Kansas City Chiefs for the 2022 to 2023 season.
As a person who has been hating on Isaiah Pacheco and his yards per carry,
why do you be doing
that? Rutgers, have you walked back your Pacheco hate, and are you in full-fledged backpedal Deion Sanders style on your Ronald Jones lead the team in rushing bet?
All right, cut the beat again. You just got me angry right now. I don't know why you have to bring up old stuff right now. There's no reason for it. Me and you are supposed to be on the same team. We rep the same smart tech. What are you doing?
11 minutes ago, you gave my job to Uno Cero.
Again, bringing up old stuff. Again, you keep bringing up old stuff. That's, again, why do you keep doing that? That's in the past. We have to move forward on this show as a team. This is where I am with Pacheco. I want to be 100% clear with where I am today. I also I also reserve the right to change my opinion at any time moving forward. That's what I like about this show. I reserve the right to change my opinion with more information at any given moment. That's not flip-flopping. I got more information. I'm willing to entertain the possibility that Isaiah Pacheco has a role on this team. Now, I still believe at best he will be their third string running back. Your third string running back does not have a major role on the team. But I went from thinking that he was maybe not going to make the team or being a practice squad guy to now feeling 100% certain that he will be on the team. I am 100% certain that week one, if healthy, he will be their kickoff or punt return guy. I think we'll see a lot of them here this weekend and over the preseason. Right now, if you set the over-under on yards for me, the over-under, I'd set it at about 180 this year for Isaiah Pacheco. I said about 180. I would have taken the under and laughed at you if you had suggested that 10 days ago. But you know what? I'm changing my tune just a little bit. And Rob, why I've been changing my tune is training camp is about momentum and coverage. I ain't heard a whole lot of positive Ronald Jones momentum or coverage here over these few days. I ain't heard a whole lot. I'm a little worried about Ronald Jones here. I was talking to Pete Sweeney about it, who's been up there every single day, and he was talking about how, well, Clyde's running pretty consistently with the ones, and Jones and McKinnon are switching off who the number two is and who's getting those third string touches. So I'm looking at it like this. I know Clyde's a lock for the team. Either McKinnon or Jones is 100% to make the team. Maybe not both, but one of them will definitely make the team. Pacheco's making the team. Are you going to keep four running backs? Would you maybe keep an extra wide receiver that you didn't last year? Maybe you only keep five corners. Who knows how you build the roster? It can go in any different direction. I'm at least willing to entertain the possibility with Pacheco. Now, I still maintain this. I maintain this. This feels like Darwin Thompson 2.0. We do this with running backs because it's easy. Training camp is designed for wide receivers, running backs, and D linemen to win one-on-one drills. You saw that drill with the kid from Jordan Davis, kid from Georgia, the place for the Eagles. You saw how everybody was going crazy about it. And then all the offensive linemen were like, hold on, like actually the offensive player won that drill. It's easy to look good in certain situations. It's designed for certain positions to look really good. He plays one of those positions. So I'm maintaining that this is still Darwin Thompson, that we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this in August, but we'll never talk about him in October or November. That's what this feels like. But you know what? He has been one of the bright spots in camp so far. I can admit that about Pacheco. I can admit that. I can admit when I'm wrong. He has been a bright spot.
Three.
Speaking of the pass rush and pass rush drills, Chris Jones spoke to the media earlier today, and it's very apparent when he spoke to the media that he is hearing the murmurs, the rumors, the whatever may have you about his performance and their pass rush performance in the playoffs.
No, I got a postseason ring. I got a championship ring, you know what I mean? So when you talk about a postseason sack, I'm not really striving for postseason sacks. The game plan change. You know, the ordeal of the D-line changed. So when you talk about that, I have a ring. I have more rings than sacks, but this year I get a sack, if it makes y'all happy.
Putting aside the fact if he had gotten a sack in last postseason, maybe when he had Joe Burrow in his arms, it would have been good for everyone involved. That's neither here nor there. Carrington, are you surprised that Chris Jones letting the murmurs get to him a little bit, especially considering how much pressure there is on this year's pass rush?
Why does he say, if you guys want me to, like, you don't want to get a sack? That's not something you enjoy too? Last year, you're right. If he had got the sack on Joe Burrow, they would have went to the Super Bowl again. I'm with you. Sacks aren't the end-all, be-all. There's other things you can do to impact the game. Chris Jones impacted the Super Bowl win against San Francisco and didn't record a sack. He was dominant. I thought he was their best player in that game. I know Mahomes gets a lot of credit, and he certainly deserves it. I actually thought Chris Jones was the best player in that game, if you really want to talk about who should have won MVP. I thought Chris Jones was their best player. So you can impact the game without getting sacks. But let's not do this. Oh, well, I got a ring. I mean, isn't that the same thing Frank Clark said? Remember when Frank Clark said that same thing last year? I mean, I mean, I've gotten double-digit sacks before, but I've never won back-to-back Super Bowl. You can do both. It's not an either-or situation. You can do both. You can get sacks and win playoff games. I know, it's crazy. I've seen it happen before. But you can do both. That's not even the real news. I can't believe we didn't even get to the real news with Chris Jones. That's how I know you slipping. That's how I know. The real news is there's no more Sac Nation.
Being greedy. I think we left a lot of opportunities last year, our last game of the season on the field. And we was able to make a few changes in the defensive line room, bring my brother back and a lot of familiar faces back. And I think this year it's about being gritty, stopping the run, stopping the pass, and doing whatever we can to help this defense out.
It's about being gritty. You've never heard a really talented anything in sports get called gritty. Gritty is normally for the unathletic. Gritty is normally for the guy that's the first one in, last to leave. Gritty is normally for the guy that's playing for the name on the front of the jersey and not the back of the jersey. A real gym rat. Coach's kid. He played shortstop in high school. Also was a valedictorian. That's normally the gritty one. Him describing their defensive line as gritty does not make me feel good. In fact, it does the opposite. It makes me feel bad. It makes me question everything I thought I knew. They want to be gritty. They want to stop the run. They want to get pressure on the other team's quarterback. That's what they're striving to be, gritty, this year on the defensive front. You seem like the take charges kind of type. You seem like the guy that was out there taking charges in pickup basketball games, Rob. Was that you?
No, not in the pickup game. In a real game, oh, yeah. I'm pointing to outside the circle. He got me. Julian Edelman was gritty, and dum-dums think he should be a Hall of Famer.
He might be the greatest postseason receiver this side of Jerry Rice. That is true, though, with Julian Edelman.
And maybe it's possible. I'm throwing it out there. You can throw it right back.
I was just wondering if you think Julian Edelman pays for Tinder Plus. Do you think he pays for Tinder Plus?
I mean, he probably pays for OnlyFans, so...
Oh, we know he probably does that. I mean, that's the definite.
That's his new method of DM sliding.
Yo, please don't take a picture of me when I'm asleep. I mean, I'd have to sue you. I'd have to sue you. Julian Edelman should have sued that girl. I'm sitting here trying to rest after our long evening, and you're going to take a picture of me while I'm asleep? I'm suing you is what I'm doing. You need to go to jail is what you need to do. You're a criminal is what you should do. Don't do this. I can't believe you played that Ronald Jones cut earlier. Like, why do you do that? We're supposed to be on the same team.
It seems relevant. Isaiah Pacheco is balling at camp. He's one of the biggest storylines this week leading into the Bears game. Felt like hit worthy to me.
Okay, I didn't know. I just was asking. I didn't know. I was curious to know. Sometimes I think me and you were on the same team, and then you do something that makes me think that we're not on the same team, that we're not fighting the same fight.
We're in lockstep most of the time. Like last year, and Pete Sweeney was like, "Dereese Fountain is Justin Jefferson."
Come on now. They were doing a lot last year. They were doing a lot. I'm happy you remember that. They were doing a lot.
Remember when Alex Gold was saying, you know, Chris Jones is a dark horse DPOY candidate, and we laughed?
Yeah, you and I both were like, he's not getting 17 sacks. What are you guys talking about? That's really our role in the Kansas City media. Our role is when everybody gets really excited, we're just on the other side of the excitement. I love being a fire extinguisher. I love it. You guys get really excited about something, like, no. No.
We did that together with Playoff Josh, too.
Oh, yeah. No, we did do that. They're saving them. They're saving them. My favorite is Jody Fortson red zone threat. I love dousing that fire. I love it. There's something about being a hater that just warms me up, just excites me in the morning. I wake up ready to hate. Thrilled to hate. I love it. I kind of feel like this when it comes to hating.
Well, I think, first of all, I think that You know, for me, I've always been about, you know, the extra work. You know, if somebody says, you know, you got to do, you know, X amount, I triple it. You know, that's just how I've always been.
Yeah.
You know,
that's like me. If you say I'm hating, I'm going to hate three times as hard. I'm going to give you more hate than you anticipated. That's how I get down.
You have triple dipped on Frank Clark hate.
I'm not a hater on Frank Clark.
Remember when people were talking? Not currently. Back when he had his tummy issues and people were like, well, he's just getting double teamed.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean. But see, sometimes, though, I think we say, oh, you're hating on. And I'm like, well, can you hate on somebody who had four sacks last year? You seem ineligible to have a hater. Like, yeah, I hate on Kansas. They're really good. I don't spend a lot of time hating on TCU. Can you hate on TCU? They ain't good. I don't know if you can hate on Frank. I don't know if Frank Clark is eligible to have a hater at this point. I don't know. Is he eligible? There's a certain threshold you gotta meet in order to be for me to hate on you.
Did Byron Pringle meet that threshold last year?
No, he also wasn't. No.
Message boards disagree. They called you a hater. We were together on that too. We dislike K-State as brothers.
I don't have any issues with K-State. I want you to go and put that out there. Don't stop putting my name in that. We don't have any issues with K-State. You might. I don't have any issues with them.
So we're saying we're all team Emon week two. Am I right?
Leave me alone. It's The Drive.
This is The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs and your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
This weekend, the Chiefs cut DeAndre Baker. Andy Reid gave a 3-minute answer about DeAndre Baker. Not lied to you. It was only 7 seconds. Here's what he said.
Yeah, you know, good kid. He just we had to make some decisions on who's who there, and that's the route we went.
Rob, you're going to laugh at me for saying this. This is the most encouraging thing to happen for their cornerback group all season. Well, since they drafted McDuffie, since they spent a first-round resource on a corner, which still flabbergasts me, this is the best thing to have happen. Rob, you know that I'm a little bit concerned about the secondary and the inexperience. I still am. They don't have a single corner that you would put in the veteran category yet. They don't have a guy who's off their rookie contract yet. But the fact that they feel good enough with Joshua Williams to go ahead and let DeAndre Baker go this early in the camp is the best sign that I've seen. I think Joshua Williams is having the best camp of any player on their team. Like at this point, Mahomes is just, hey, I'm just trying to get sharp. I'm trying to get comfortable. Like he's not going out there in camp to really prove anything. You saw the video now at this point where Joshua Williams and Juju got kind of tangled up. Joshua Williams a little bit too enthusiastic, kind of hit Juju in a way that you're not supposed to hit your own teammate at training camp. Like, he clearly made a mistake. I think he's flying around and trying to make plays. Like, I think he's going out there and trying to compete on every single snap and trying to challenge and test himself. And it's been really fun to see. He has been by far and away the player that I've changed my opinion on the most over camp has been Joshua Williams. went from, I would say, really concerned about a Division II corner, 1AA corner stepping in. Based on what we've seen so far, and I understand that it's camp, he looks like somebody right now where if, let's say that Fenton's not going to be there early in the season because he's going to have to be on the PUP list. Joshua Williams is going to play on this team and going to play a lot on this team. So you got Duffy and or McDuffie and Snead, and then you got Lonnie Johnson and Williams fighting it out for who that third guy is going to be and who gets on the field a lot. Like, Joshua Williams is going to be a pretty big piece in what they're doing this year. How will he perform when it's live bullets? And then every week, especially with their schedule, you're going up against dogs at quarterback and wide receiver almost every single week. How he holds up in that environment, we'll find out over the next couple of weeks once they start playing games. And he's a guy that I think they'll be playing. He's not going to be in the starters, oh, you're not playing a whole lot in camp. Like, this is what preseason is for, is to get guys like him reps. I don't think he'll be in late, but I think he'll be a third quarter guy. I could see Joshua Williams getting a lot of run, getting a lot of reps, and he needs it given where he played football last season, what they need him to be this year, and his experience as an NFL player. I could see him playing a lot, and I could see on Monday when we're talking about their game against Chicago, he's a player that we came away feeling really good about.
You're right, and it sounds counterintuitive because when you say it out loud, it sounds wrong. But if the Chiefs continue to move on from their veterans they had in the cornerback room, veterans being air quoted, and continue to lean on the kids, it's a positive for the team, not only this year, but going forward, because this group can develop and fly around and make plays together. We hear it all the time about how Chiefs fans love this O-line group, but it's a largely young group that's coming up through the ranks together. Creed, Trey Smith, when Lucas Niang's healthy, Lucas Niang. The cornerback.
Really quick, I'm sorry to cut you off. You said when Lucas Niang is healthy. When is he healthy?
You know those couple games early in the season last year?
Okay, I didn't know. You said when he's healthy. I'm trying to figure out when that is because I don't know if he's ever been healthy on this team.
Darren Kennard.
I cut you off. I'm wrong here. My bad.
My point is, I think the cornerback group could do that same thing, and as they gel and play together more and more, it could be the utmost positive for this team. There might be a day camp. I don't know. Will happen or won't happen. We might get a news story from Ian Rapoport. Chiefs are cutting Lonnie Johnson. I would say in the same vein as DeAndre Baker, if they're cutting Lonnie Johnson, it's another good sign and not a negative sign that they're committing to playing the kids at the position.
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, it goes to continue to show they have a strength in their scouting department and Brett Veach does. If they hit on Joshua Williams, which right now I would say it is trending that he will be a starter for them and a productive player. I would say that's the way that it's trending early. They've got a strength. They keep doing this. Rashad Fenton, sixth round pick, starter for them. Snead, fourth round pick. La Tech, starter for them. Joshua Williams. This was not a kid that played at Alabama. This wasn't like DeAndre Baker who played at Georgia, who was a first round pick you had NFL films on. This was a guy who played 1AA football, D2 football last year. And right now looks like he could be your nickel corner for this upcoming season. That's scouting department. That's you put in the work. They know something. They have an ability to find corners, which I think in turn should just continue to make you really excited about Trent McDuffie. For them to spend a first round pick on a corner, they think he's going to be good. Like really good. Like Pro Bowl, all pro possibility good for them to spend a first round pick on him, knowing what they can do in the later rounds. They're really high on him.
Which, despite his iffy start to camp, for lack of a better term, because there were reports that he was struggling, the fact that he's coming around combined with the fact they have a tight bit corner and he's now coming around is real, real exciting because they broke the mold with McDuffie.
You and I talked about this a little bit earlier, and I think it goes in line with DeAndre Baker. I think it also goes in line with what Andy Reid had to say about wide receiver.
I mean, every camp is competitive, but I tell you that because of some of the openings that we've had with people leaving, there's competition, and it's good. And then Brett's brought in great people, so he's brought in good players that are going to compete, and somewhere we're going to have to let some good players go, I'm sure. So But it's a tribute to Brett and the job he's done.
So that was Andy Reid talking about the competition at wide receiver. I think there's 9 players that are on the roster bubble. I think there are 9 players that are still fighting for spots. And I would say these 9 guys are probably fighting for 4 spots at this point. Ronald Jones and Jerick McKinnon. Maybe both of them make the team. I think it's possible that one of them doesn't make the team. There's no financial investment in either one of them. And if Pacheco continues to have a good camp and has a really, really good preseason, it will make it easier for them to walk away from one of these two. You've got your 1 and your 2. Maybe Derek Gore ends up making the team, and we haven't really talked a whole lot about him. It does kind of feel like we moved on from Derek Gore. Remember, he was getting Priest Holmes comparisons last year? All the love from Gore has been transferred now to Pacheco. I would say those 2 guys, neither one of their spots are locked in on this roster. You still got the 5 wide receivers fighting for 1 spot. Cornell Powell, Corey Coleman, Justin Watson, Josh Gordon, Darice Fountain. You still got 5 wide receivers fighting for 2 spots probably. Especially because I think Fortson's going to be put on the PUP list. I don't think Fortson's going to start with the team. I think they're going to start with 3 tight ends, which then gives them the ability to take 1 more wide receiver. I think one of these spots is Justin Watson's to lose. I'd be a little surprised if Justin Watson didn't make the team right now. He seems like a 5th wide receiver, Marcus Kemp, special teams kind of option. Not really a guy that's going to count and factor into the passing game a whole lot. He'll get a little bit, but he's not going to get more than 150 yards next year. But a guy that is a key special teams guy for them and a guy that we'll notice and talk about. That's what it feels like he's going to be. And then I would say you got Colin Saunders and Malik Herring, both fighting for a roster spot. I don't think you can keep both Saunders and Malik Herring. If you look at their depth chart at defensive linemen, before you get to them, you got 9 guys. You're not keeping 11 defensive linemen. You maybe keep 10. 9's probably a more realistic answer, and both of these guys don't make the team. But I think Colin Saunders and Malik Herring are fighting for 1 roster spot. I think that's it. I think everybody else we can identify who's going to make the team. I think these are the guys that are right now in that roster bubble gray area. It can go either way depending on how the remaining 3 weeks of all of this go. I could see Ronald Jones making this team. Rob might end up being right. We see how they use him. We see a Tuesday here coming up in a couple of weeks. They traded Ronald Jones for another offensive lineman, a la what happened with Carlos Hyde. Or a team gives you a future 7th round pick for Ronald Jones. All of that is within the scope of possibility. I'd be a little surprised if they traded McKinnon, though. To me, he's probably a guy that you just have to outright cut, and then a team will just pick him up. I could see Jones possibly being traded. Probably not, but if you're asking me who's more likely to get traded, I would say it's Jones than McKinnon. McKinnon's 28 years old with the injury history. I'm not giving you anything for him. You just got to cut him, and then we'll bring him in here to work him out and see him far. So I'm not giving you anything, though. All right, coming up on the other side, I want to get to our extra point. I want to tell you one of the greatest love stories that I've ever heard. I'll explain it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive.
Let's say my future wife, I get 1 or 2 options. Diehard KU fan or takes egg roll over crab ragoon. Rock chalk, baby.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got 1 extra point.
I want to tell you guys about the greatest love story I've ever read. There's a couple in Boston, and they did a story in the New York Times. Now, these 2 people met on the dating app Hinge. It's not that surprising of a love story. When I was graduating college, Rob, my last college assignment, I had to write a paper. I could pick the paper to be about anything. I picked it on social media and its effect on dating. So I read a book. It was by Anziz Ansari. It was about social media dating. And it said that our generation is going to be the first one where more people have met their spouse on social media than any other form. You think about our parents. Maybe they met him at school. Maybe they met him at church. Maybe they ran into somebody at the grocery store. No. More couples have met their significant other on social media than any other way. So that's not that surprising. But what is surprising about this story, Rob, is that the gentleman canceled their date multiple times. Now, I don't know if you've ever dated somebody off these apps before, but if I try to hang out with you two times and you cancel both times, you know what we're not doing? Ever going on that date. No, thank you. But they eventually did go on this date. Their date was at Popeyes. They went to Popeyes. And get this, Rob. They met at Popeyes. They were going to go in, but the line was so long that they actually walked across the street to KFC. This was their first date. They continued dating. Months later, they booked a trip to Barbados, and on this trip, he proposed to his wife. They got married. They shared this story in the New York Times, and you would think that people would be happy for this couple. They were able to find real love. I'm searching for real love. But no, people are hating, Rob, because of where they met, because of what their first date was, because that he canceled on her twice and she still agreed to go on this date at Popeyes. Why don't we want to see other people happy? Is this not a real story of perseverance and love? One of you listening right now missed out on your soulmate because you were impatient. She was busy. Sure, she said, hey, I want to hang out with you. And then last minute she canceled and said, hey, I can't do it. Something came up. And you crossed her off your list. Now look at you. Miserable. About to go home and watch Royals baseball by yourself eating Hot Pockets. Meanwhile, she cooking for somebody else who was more patient than you were. Let this be a lesson to you. This is a story of perseverance. This is a story of love. It started at Popeyes, and now they at the pulpit. They should make a movie about this. You think the Notebook is the greatest love story ever told? No, it's the one I just told you. Started at Popeyes, now we here. Who would have thunk it? Not me. This is a real love story. I don't care how long the Popeyes line was, though. I wasn't walking across the street to KFC. I'm just going to walk across the street to get the lesser fast food chicken. Why would I do that? You know that Popeyes line be long, though. That Popeyes line be long, and it be long, and you still got to wait. They never just have the chicken readily available, especially if you want spicy. If you want spicy, oh, that's a 25-minute wait. It's always 10 to 15 minutes on the spicy. Every single time. Every single time. That's a perfect way to end today's show, man. We don't have a show tomorrow, do we?
We don't. Rolls doubleheader.
Is that one here? Their doubleheader here?
Yeah. Shy Sox are in town.
Oh, wow. Is it going to rain? Looks like it might rain. You know it's raining.
What am I, Brian Busby? I don't know.
What kind of rainy outside? Oh, my Brian Busby. All right, Katie Horner. No. Is Katie Horner still around?
Yeah, I think she's on a new channel.
Let's have Katie Horner come up here and do Beers with Bank. Can we get Katie Horner to do it?
Yeah, but would she walk out when you're like, why'd you ruin the NBA Finals?
Oh, Brian Busby loves to ruin the NBA Finals. He loves it. All right, I'm out of here. I would say that I would see you guys tomorrow, but I won't be able to see you tomorrow. But Wednesday, I'll be here. I'll be back. I'll catch you guys then. Take care. It's the Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.